I leaned against my pillowed throne and did some serious staring of my own. Unmistakably Karen, but still so unlike her. It was her. It just wasn't her life. If you could see this from my eyes, I wondered at her, the admiring hosts, the idyllic setting, if you could see you as I see you now, would it help? Would it reinforce your faith? Would it revive sinking dreams and hope? Or do you hate the beauty that has helped make your life just so? I never could decide. No way to tell, of course, but I'd expect some of each. It would have cheered her, even thrilled her, to have seen herself then. It would have had to. It was simply too lovely. But afterwards, with time and doubt leaning so heavily on the memory, and with that placidly desperate struggle of her versus her, and some hate did exist, I felt certain, for the beauty, for the brand of having it. I shook my head, shook it again. I found that I was no longer even looking at her, hadn't been in a while. The sun was no longer framing, and she had moved position a little. Christ, I thought, has it come to this now? Too much wine and bug-eating drugs and afternoon sun, and guilt was still about, too, still leading me away from the point. I shook my head a third time. Most of the party had wandered off. 2 hours or so of sunlight remained. It was still pleasantly warm. Laya was encouraging, gently, the departure of her final moth, a stoutly muscular Asian woman seeking inside influence for a transfer back to her old position in the Project Dome galley.
"The architects know nothing about food," she complained in a shrill whine that had been installed, no doubt by mistake, in that massive chest. "They hate everything I fix."
From the way she strove to suppress a giggle, Laya was hardly surprised at this piece of news. Clearly she found both the issue and the woman hilarious. But somehow she maintained her composure until at last free of the cook, sending her marching robot-like down the bank, short thick arms held firmly immobile at her sides. Laya collapsed into helpless laughter before the cook had gone 20 meters. She jammed her peals of laughter against the corner of one of my pillows to muffle the noise. It was a compassionate gesture, and more than a little comical in itself. When she had resumed some semblance of control, she turned to me. I beat her to it. "Let me guess," I said. "You're the one who had her moved out of the dome in the first place." She looked surprised, but nodded. A pixie's grin curled up.
"Worst cook in the world," she said.
And then the laughter bubbled out again.
"She cooks like she looks," she added,
before collapsing once more into hysterics, now unmuffled and bell-like.